Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll discuss all the latest regarding the New York Giants as well as some big picture perspectives across the NFL landscape. And we want to remind you, fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. We'll get to your phone calls. If you can't get to the phone, you could also interact with us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. John Mara spoke at the owners' meetings in Florida, had some interesting comments about the free agents that the Giants recently brought in and their game plan moving forward, even though free agency has somewhat quieted down. We also want to get into some of the proposed rule changes. There's a few rule changes that are going to be up for vote this week by the competition committee, so we'll delve into that, how that may impact the game moving forward. And as I mentioned, we'll get to your phone calls. Anita, let's start with John Mara's comments.
Where are we going to start, Lance?
Well, before we get to all of the competition committee and what they have to weigh, I think it's very interesting what John Mara had to say about the Giants' philosophy going into free agency. And he mentioned that, you know, clearly they didn't anticipate they were going to spend as much as they did, but they felt in their mind how they ranked the players that they got the best defensive end, the best defensive tackle, and the best corner on the market. That's what John Mara had said, and we'll get to some of his exact quotes. That was one thing that I took away. The other thing that was interesting was he wouldn't throw out any specific players, but he said they're not finished. They still think the draft is where they're going to do a lot of the heavy lifting, but he felt there's three other positions that they could certainly focus in on. Offensive lineman,
right,
which
tackle,
is one.
Right tackle specifically, yes.
Cornerback would be another. And then depth overall to add to that depth chart. So those were some of the things that he certainly pointed
safety?
Out at the owners' meetings. Safety, he actually mentioned that he believes the young guys are going to get a great opportunity.
What I say last week when we hosted the show, if you listen, if you read between the lines, and it's not always the best thing to do, but if you read between the lines in regard to what Jerry Reese communicated when he spoke to the media in Indianapolis during the combine, he spent a lot of time talking about those young guys like the Bennett Jackson, like the Nat Burhe, like the Mikel Thompson, who, again, all unfortunately because of injury, we did not get a really good taste or sample size in regard to what they could do. But Jerry Reese and this organization, the coaching staff, believe that one of those guys, if not two of them, out of the three, can really step up and be a legitimate safety for the Giants moving forward. So it's where they stand. It's what they believe. And only time will tell. We'll see. I still think it would be wise, because Landon Collins, he's only in his second year, I still think it would be really wise to go out and bring in kind of a more savvy veteran safety to come in. Now, I don't know if that's something that, you know, that there's a guy out there that that they're waiting to kind of see how the free agent waters pan out, that maybe they can get for a more of a bargain price. Maybe that's a guy that they bring in, you know, who eventually maybe is going to get cut by a team. I don't know. But I would like to see them bring in more of a veteran guy, because the guys that they have back there are pretty young.
Well, and they have also been injury prone. So I think there's two factors that you have to weigh. But John Mara did emphasize they feel good about the competition internally on the roster. And I said the same thing about the tight end spot. I thought what Jerry Reese had mentioned at the combine, as you just touched on, the safeties and the tight ends, I think they feel as if they've got a young nucleus that can compete and emerge and solidify a starting job. The other player that John Mara highlighted in his comments, he said he wants Bobby Hart to become, quote, a good offensive lineman and compete for a starting job. So that's another name that we've talked about on the right side of the offensive line, specifically perhaps at the right guard spot with Jeff Schwartz parting ways with the team. He could be somebody also that they feel they want to give an opportunity to claim a starting job. So what I think the biggest takeaway is between John Mara's comments and Jerry Reese's comments is, while free agency is slowing down and they are still keeping their options open, they still feel good about the young nucleus of players at three specific positions: offensive line, tight end, and safety. And it'll be very interesting to see how those competitions play out moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were to ask me what's the one position right now that I feel that they have the biggest need to fill immediately, I think we'd both be in agreement, and I think some of the fans, and please call in if you disagree with me, is that right tackle position. You know, I'm quite excited to see the competition at the safety position. I'm interested. Prior to Bennett Jackson going down, prior to Nat Burhe having, I want to say it was a calf issue.
Yeah.
The coaching staff was pretty high on these guys, Lance. So, barring them, of course, being healthy, I'm excited to see that competition, to see what they can do in their second year playing in Spags' system. But for me, really, it's that right tackle position. Who do they bring in? Or, you know, and again, no disrespect to Marshall Newhouse, but I think that position needs an upgrade.
Well, you have Newhouse, who obviously is the incumbent, and then you can address that in the draft. You can bring in a free agent. You know, there's still time to at least bring in other players to compete with Marshall Newhouse for that starting job. Getting back to the safeties, as you mentioned, if you go back to training camp last year, Nat Burhe and Bennett Jackson got a lot of the reps as the two starters mm-hmm. before Landon Collins got his feet wet and so forth. So they were out there every single day in practice. And I know when the coaching staff was asked about the safety position, the way that they described it was it's an extremely fluid position. They were mixing and matching a lot of guys. They didn't know really until week one, Anita, who was going to be the two starters, because every day they were alternating. These two guys start this week, then we move in these guys and so forth. So, you know, they wanted to get as much playing time out of this group as humanly possible, and I think they achieved that in training camp. The problem was when they started to get into rhythm, guys like Nat Burhe and Bennett Jackson, the injury bug struck, and you had Burhe go down, Bennett Jackson, Michael Thompson gets hurt in the first preseason game. So all of a sudden, what looked like a numbers game where you had a lot of safeties, remember Cooper Taylor was another one, all of a sudden it dwindled down to like two guys, and then they brought in Brandon Merriweather because they felt at this point, we just need more numbers, and they brought in Craig Dahl as well. They needed somebody who they felt they could insert immediately who at least knew the system, such as a Craig Dahl, and that was a reason why he got into the mix so quickly. But I think, you know, it's easy to forget what happened in training camp because it seems like it was ages ago. These were the young guys that were in line to start before all of a sudden, you know, everybody went down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these aren't guys that they're picking up off the street and throwing in at the position. These aren't guys that they're just coming in and this is their first year. I mean, you know, I think some folks forget, you know, you did have Bennett Jackson here when Stevie Brown and Antrel Roll were back there. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's been a part of this organization for a while, and I think his time right now is to really step up, grab that brass ring, and really let's see what he can do with a career in the NFL.
This was John Mara's comment to Newsday, which we have highlighted in an article right now on Giants.com. In case you didn't see it, I just want to read it to you so you know where John Mara is coming from. He said, quote, "There are still some players we're looking at, obviously at a lower level in terms of compensation, but I still think we have some holes to fill. I think we'd like to have another offensive lineman somewhere down the line, another corner, and he also mentioned another receiver. There are still players we're looking at. We may have to wait until the draft if the right players aren't there in free agency." So wide receiver was the other position that he certainly addressed. And these are all positions that we've talked about, you know, with the fans here on the phone lines on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So this is nothing new. This is not a stunner. You know, the front office seems to be focusing in on positions that we've discussed at great length. But, you know, it's important to notice when you look at the free agent market, Anita, now that things have quieted down, there's not a great deal of depth and options at some of those positions that John Mara pointed out. That's more of a reason why I think perhaps they're gearing towards the draft as an area where they can bring in some depth and bring in some youth there.
Yeah, and listen, at the wide receiver position, if you look at the NFL draft, like the especially the past 3 years, some of the wide receivers that were drafted that really stepped up in a big way, and they were drafted in the later rounds. I'm trying to think the wide receiver, and I apologize, I'm so into the whole March Madness, and I'm having a brain moment here. But the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, who really stepped up in a big way this year,
Stephon Diggs.
Yes. So, like, for example, a guy like that, where was he drafted?
I'll look it up right now.
You know, so a guy like that, that I think that, you know, there are diamonds in the rough, and in regards, I want to say fourth. But there are guys like that that are in the draft that. you can find.
Fifth round.
Fifth round, yeah. Exactly. Stephon Diggs, fifth round. So there are guys in the draft that I think that you can find that very well can. I mean, listen, he was the go-to guy for Teddy Bridgewater. And understand something, Norv Turner and that Minnesota Vikings offense, you know, they drafted Cordarrelle Patterson in the first round. They are doing everything and anything they can to make him an absolute stud. This, I think, is the year for him. But as much as the effort was placed on him as a wide receiver and trying to get him involved in that offense, Stephon Diggs elevated himself to the go-to guy for Teddy Bridgewater, a fifth rounder in his first year in the NFL. So they're out there. It's just, of course, it's finding those diamonds in the rough. And look, Giants knew what time it was with Odell Beckham Jr., didn't they?
Absolutely.
I have faith in them in finding possibly a really solid complementary wide receiver to play opposite Odell Beckham Jr. this season.
Well, I think the big picture perspective here is it's not necessarily what round. It's the fact that you can help build up your depth chart in those later rounds if you do your homework and you can find some of those gems that you talked about. Because, I mean, even somebody like Russell Wilson at the quarterback position was also a mid-round pick. And look at how that turned out for the Seattle Seahawks. And Seattle's also had a number of players who were in the fifth round on defense and so forth who have flourished. I'm looking at some of the other wide receivers who went in last year's draft after round one, because we know there was plenty of playmakers in round one. The Panthers took Devin Funchess out of Michigan. He was banged up early in the season, but I thought he made a number of solid plays late in the season. And let's see what happens moving forward. You know, him and Kelvin Benjamin are probably going to be the anchors at the receiver position as I look through last year's draft. Tyler Lockett for the Seattle Seahawks, he made a number of plays for Seattle. He was a third-round pick, so that's another wide receiver that I would highlight. Chris Conley, quiet, but did step up late in the season for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was also a third-round pick. Sammy Coates for the Steelers, this may be his year now that Martavis Bryant is suspended. He was a third-round pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's to somebody else. Montgomery for the Green Bay Packers went in the third round as well.
Did you say, I'm sorry, Tyler Lockett, did you say he went in the second round? Is that what you said?
Tyler Lockett, let me see, I think I said the second round or the third round. Where did I go? Tyler Lockett was the third round.
Wow. What a steal.
Yeah, made a number of big plays for the Seahawks this season.
Let me tell you something. That young man is abs so special. So very, very special. Third round.
Looking through the list here from last year's draft. I mean, clearly, second and third round, there were a number of playmakers. Everybody else, I think, really has yet to get some playing time and develop. But you can grab some decent talent in the second round, the third round, and, you know, as we mentioned with Diggs in the fifth round, where they could come in and they may not be a special teams player. They could potentially compete for a starting job. So the draft could be an area of focus based on what John Mara said in terms of them addressing some of these other needs. But he did mention they're not finished. That was one of the biggest takeaways. Now, here's what he also had to say about the players they brought in. Quote, we had some holes to fill. We got the three top guys, referring to Vernon, Harrison, and Jenkins at their respective positions. I think they're all necessary additions. They cost us a little more than we initially thought. Whether it pays off in the end remains to be seen, but we think we got better. Then he went on to say, we've been aggressive in free agency in the past. The prices are much higher now. We don't do it every year. Number one, generally you can't because of your salary cap situation. Number two, it usually doesn't work, so you have to pick your spots. We thought this was a good spot in terms of when you compare the free agent classes for the Giants in years past and so forth, because this was a unique year in terms of the amount of money that they spent and obviously the amount of talent that they brought in just through free agency alone.
So I hosted my radio shows on ESPN New York this weekend, and I had a phenomenal woman on from ESPN, and I'm sure folks out there who do watch ESPN know who she is. Her name is Cynthia Freeland. She's an analytics expert, and I brought her in to kind of give me her synopsis in regard to, you know, how the Giants did in free agency, where they stand right now, as well as the Jets, to kind of get a you know, both views. And she felt that the Giants really spended wisely. She likes all the draft picks that the Giants brought in. Her only concern was in regard to the amount of money that the Giants spent on Snacks, considering that he was playing in a 3-4 but is now moving to a 4-3, We had
his coach, Stephen Martin, on, yeah.
Right, so we had his coach on. I kind of shared that with her and kind of let her know. But listen, I had the coach on. He said that he learned to play the position more so and did extremely well in a 4-3. But the question mark is in regard to the amount of money that the Giants paid him. Usually you pay that kind of money for somebody who's going after the quarterback, not necessarily stopping your rushing attack. Like, of course, what the Dolphins did with Sue in Miami. So she said that, and again, she's talking analytics. You know, when you've got somebody who's a brainiac like her, she's looking at the value amount that you pay a player in regard to the statistics and the results that he provides. But she said, all in all, she really likes what the Giants have done. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because there is a report that came out on ESPN this week that teams that go out and spend this kind of money and are this active in regard to free agency, it doesn't necessarily, more times than not, result in winning a championship. And why is that? Well, you always hear guys, especially in regard to fantasy football, right? Oh, the guy's in a contract year. You want to own him. Like, for example, Chris Ivory. I was really big on Chris Ivory in fantasy football last year because he was in a contract year. And sure enough, look, he's making $10 million guaranteed per year. So, you know, but what happens once they get that contract? And it's really, really hard to know what a guy's mindset is. Because a lot of times what the concern is, you know, and this is what I heard about Malik Jackson, actually, when I was in Indianapolis. There were some big concerns there. You pay Malik Jackson had, he played his butt off, right? But there are those guys that once they get that money, Lance, once they get that contract, their work ethic kind of, you know, deteriorates. You don't see that certain sense of urgency. You know, they're not the first ones at the facility, the last ones to leave. That is the risk, not just the Giants, but every team takes. When you go out and you spend this kind of money with free agents, you hope and you pray that they're going to take that money and say, not, oh, all right, I got my payday, now I can relax. You hope that they're going to take their payday and say, all right, I'm making this amount of money. I need to prove to this team and I need to prove to the fans here in New York that I'm worth this money. And I'm going to continue to work that hard. And unfortunately, you don't see that around the league. But that is the risk that a lot of teams take in regard to free agency. When you try to build in free agency as opposed to the draft, that's the risk you take. So, it's very, very interesting. I like all the guys that the Giants went after. And another thing is, I like the guys, and I know I'm very long-winded here, but I like the guys that the Giants went after because I still think that they have more to prove. It's not like they're going out and they're spending money on a guy who's, you know.
Well, they're all young.
They're all young, yeah. And they haven't reached their potential yet. They haven't peaked. They haven't reached that ceiling yet. And you hope that their drive and their motivation is that they're still going to do that. So.
Well, I think they're all eligible for more contracts after. So that's more of a reason why you would think that obviously they have unfinished business. Plus, if you look at Harrison, for example, who we spoke about in great detail last week, I mean, he's an undrafted player, and he still says that he doesn't even think that he showed his true potential with the Jets, that there's more to offer. I wouldn't get caught up too much in terms of the 3-4 versus the 4-3, and I think it's going to be an easy transition for him, and he's going to be playing next to a guy like Hankins, so the two of them should complement one another very nicely. I know, you know, from what Carl Banks has said, he doesn't think it's going to be even an issue, and he's been in the trenches more so than any other expert who has certainly talked about players transitioning from one spot to another. All right, let's open up the phone lines here. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. We went over John Mara's comments at the owners' meetings. You want to weigh in on that. You want to get into the draft and free agency and so forth. We welcome all the discussion. Randy's in Melville. He gets us started on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's happening, Randy?
Hey, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing well, Randy. How's things with you?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to bring up a quick topic for you. You have Ryan Nassib. All right. He's in the last year, I guess, of his rookie contract. Guys went out there and learned behind, obviously, Eli Manning, and has been groomed. I'm sure we could probably get something really sweet for him. I don't know what the trade market is for him, but as far as looking in the draft, I know we need a lot of pieces. I wanted to ask you about what you think about that, and then I have one other thing to say.
Well, my answer is, considering Ryan Nassib has very limited experience, I don't see a trade market at all for him. And I don't see anybody giving you of anything substance-wise to acquire Ryan Nassib. I mean, he's done most of his work in the preseason at this point. Randy, I think we got to put things in here in perspective in terms of your expectations. If you were to throw him out on the market and what you get in return, I don't think you're going to get much of anything substance-wise at this point.
And I totally disagree with Lance. I totally.
I'm just saying he's been groomed for many years.
Because,
I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. Again, this is a topic of discussion I had all weekend long because you know you've got a Jets team who's really worried because they don't have a quarterback right now. So this is a topic I've been talking about all weekend long on Sports Talk Radio. And I said, if I'm a team, and maybe this is me because I know Nassib, I know what this young man can do, and I have total belief that Nassib will be a good starting quarterback in the NFL within the next few years. If I'm a team like the Jets or another team like Cleveland that's in need of a quarterback, I am calling the Giants. I am calling Cincinnati as well, and I'm inquiring, what is it going to take for me to get Ryan Nassib? Maybe a fourth or third round draft pick? I'm also calling Cincinnati to inquire about A.J. McCarron.
Well, he's got more experience there, though, on the field, A.J. McCarron.
Well, that's because Andy Dalton got injured. But just because A.J. McCarron has more experience on the field doesn't mean that he's necessarily a better quarterback than Ryan Nassib. I do believe that Ryan Nassib is a very good quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants could get a fourth or fifth round draft pick for Ryan Nassib. That would not shock me on draft day. So it's interesting with your phone call. It's something I've been talking about all weekend long because I believe in the young man. I think he's a tremendous talent. I think he's and by the way, he just got married. So congratulations, Ryan Nassib. He just recently got married. But I'm with you. Listen, you signed the deal. You know that Eli Manning's going to be here for the next few years. You know, this is the last year for Ryan Nassib. Let's get something for him because he is a tremendous talent. I'm on the same page with you.
Well, first of all, Randy, Nassib's got 2 years left on his contract, number one.
Two?
Okay,
so
the urgency to get rid of him is not nearly where you at least put it. And once again, if they think that there's value in getting a fifth-round pick in return for him, you know, maybe that's something the Giants would think about. I don't see that happening. And about the Cleveland Browns, Cleveland's got a high draft pick. If I'm Cleveland, why am I coughing up a draft pick to get an unproven quarterback when I could draft one in the first round?
I mean, that to me is counterproductive. I was just saying because he's been groomed. I figured, you know, you got guys like Aaron Rodgers. I know he's not Aaron Rodgers, but I'm saying that you guys like that are able to sit and watch
and there is
and
value
absorb.
In that. Well, you know, and I agree with you, Randy. I think there is value in a young quarterback sitting on the sidelines and watching. But, I mean, at the same time, I think if you're comparing Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Nassib, I'm not saying that you were, but I think the difference with Aaron Rodgers was that if you looked at his resume coming out of college and his upside, it was a little bit different than Nassib coming into the NFL.
All right, right. I got one more point, and then I'll let you guys run, and I appreciate the time. For me, I would go out, take a veteran like Anquan Boldin. I don't know if he's still in the market. And then with the draft, I know Paul would probably love this, but, you know, I would love to get that offensive tackle there. You got Flowers. You went out and got Pugh. You got Richburg. Let's get the kid Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame and, you know, let's build that offensive line for the next several years and then go out there and pick out some of these guys in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. I'll hear your thoughts and I'll hear them, you know, obviously off the air. I appreciate your time, guys, and your opinions.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. You know, thank you so much.
A reason why the Cleveland Browns, and I'm not saying the Cleveland Browns are going to do it, I just threw that out there because, like, look, they're entertaining RG3. I'm sorry. You know, I'd rather have Ryan Nassib in as my quarterback than RG3.
That's a whole other topic. I don't want to debate that. I definitely disagree with you from that standpoint. But
why would that be a whole other thing. RG3 is so injury prone. You need a specific offense for him to be able to. You know what it is? You have no faith in Nassib.
No, it has nothing to do with Nassib.
Because name me
another quarterback that somebody traded for that was a backup that all of a sudden flourished. Matt Flynn? What did Matt Flynn do?
Yeah,
you see all the money that the Seattle Seahawks gave him? What happened there?
But you can't compare one quarterback to another.
No, but I'm saying that there's not a very strong track record of backups being acquired from other teams and all of a sudden flourishing. It's more likely that quarterbacks who are groomed within their own system get called up and flourish there. So if I'm the Giants, you have 2 years left on the deal with Nassib. What's the purpose of getting rid of him when he still could be the backup to Eli Manning?
And I'm not saying get rid of him, but if you just signed Eli Manning to a long-term contract, you can get something for him knowing that Nassib isn't going to sign another deal and sit behind Eli Manning.
You don't know that, though, but you have no idea.
Oh, Lance.
You have no idea. I don't know what his mindset is, and he doesn't know what the market's going to be like right now. Right now, he's under contract for two more years. If the market changes, the market changes.
I understand that. But
as it stands right now.
What quarterback wants to sit for 8 years?
Well,
what quarter? Are you kidding me?
But you don't know how the market's going to play out. You don't know what the Giants' QB situation is. And from the Giants' perspective, they still need a reliable backup, regardless of Eli Manning's durability.
I guarantee you that once his contract is up, and this organization is still committed to Eli Manning, that there will be another team that is going to offer him a contract to come in and compete for the starting job, and he will be gone.
It's possible, I don't know if that's a guarantee.
He's not going to turn down an offer to go compete for a starting job in the NFL.
That's assuming
behind Eli Manning for another 4 years,
Lance. But that's assuming that opportunity presents itself. That opportunity doesn't always present itself, where a backup quarterback gets an offer.
Okay.
But you're making it sound like in need of 25 quarterbacks who are backups get offered starting jobs.
But I'm not saying – not every quarterback in the NFL – for example, to me, Mark Sanchez is the backup quarterback. To me, Ryan Nassib is a starting quarterback in the making. You're not understanding that.
No, I understand.
You're looking at Ryan Nassib as just, this is who he is. This is his skill set. He's just a backup quarterback. But you are so wrong. Ryan Nassib is a starting quarterback in the NFL. That will develop eventually. If I'm a team that's in need, why not now knock on the door of the Giants, who have so many needs, that are looking to really develop this team into something dynamic and something special, and you know that they've done a lot in free agency, you know that they're going to be really aggressive in the draft, why not make that phone call? That's what I'm saying. Not all backup quarterbacks in the NFL have the potential and the ability and the skill set that Ryan Nassib has, Lance, to be a starting quarterback.
And
that's what
your
I'm saying.
Opinion, and that's your opinion. So how does that make me wrong? That means we disagree in terms of our view. How does that make me wrong, though?
Okay.
I have my opinion. You have your opinion.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it's called, an opinion.
Two to three years from now, when Ryan Nassib and A.J. McCarron are starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, then we can revisit the conversation.
And top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, then.
Top 15.
You think of me.
Fair enough. Andre is in Rochester. Let's hear from somebody else. Andre, what's up?
Hey, I just got to disagree with you, Lance, because I've been thinking this since I woke up this morning. We need to get our hands on Miles Jack. And the only way we're going to do that is if we get one of these teams a quarterback. And who do we have? Ryan Nassib. And Anita is just saying that Ryan Nassib is a whole lot better than these quarterbacks coming out of this draft.
That's right. He sure is.
That's it.
And Andre, that may be the case, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, but there are teams that may say to themselves, it looks like we lost Andre, there may be teams who have high draft picks that are saying to themselves, I'd rather take a chance on a young quarterback as opposed to give up additional draft picks to acquire somebody already in the league. There's some teams that have that mindset, where if I'm in a position, like, for example, I'm using Cleveland because Cleveland's in a position to draft a quarterback. San Francisco's in a position to draft a quarterback. Why would they then cough up another draft pick when they can already use a high draft pick on a quarterback who's a little bit younger? I think that's something that every team would have to weigh under those circumstances.
Because I'd rather spend a fourth, let's say, and again, I mean, we're playing fantasy football here. I understand that. I'd rather spend a third or fourth or fifth round draft pick bringing in a guy like Nassib, who I know has the potential of being a starting quarterback in the NFL and has been studying under one of the best in Eli Manning for the past 4 years. As opposed to going out and there is a very high ceiling and a lot of hefty expectations for Goff and Lynch and Wentz and Cook and these guys that are coming out. Yeah, but to me, right now, Nassib is more that sure thing that you could bring in, have him compete, and see what he can do. And I'm telling you what, talking to the coaching staff here, talking to the refs that are here on Thursdays who watch him during practice, I'm telling you, Lance, don't underestimate this young man. He's going to be a starting
I'm not underestimating him. I'm saying there's value to keep him on the roster right now as the backup quarterback to Eli Manning. And for two more years, that's why the Giants should contain and keep him and have him as a valuable asset.
There's value, but it might be more valuable to go and trade him for a draft pick and see what you can bring in from the draft this year that you can get on the football field.
Well, and I don't think his market is where you're talking about right now, in my opinion. From what I've heard, I don't feel as if you're going to get something that is going to all of a sudden resurrect your roster by parting ways. If right now, today, if you could trade Ryan Nassib and get a first or a second-round pick, I would say do it in a heartbeat.
We just talked about the Minnesota Vikings getting their number one wide receiver in the fifth round last year.
Yeah, but once again, you're not getting...
You're not
getting Stephon Diggs every single year, though.
I'm not saying you
are. That's more of a rare occurrence as opposed to an everyday occurrence.
But the potential... I mean, listen, Bobby Hart more than likely is going to be our right guard. He's going to have a chance to compete for sixth round, right?
Seventh round.
So this is what I'm saying, is that you... I mean, you... I think it's an interesting conversation to have in regard to the debate. What's more valuable for you Giants fans? To have Ryan Nassib as the backup quarterback? God forbid anything happens to Eli Manning, which, man, the guy's the Iron Man. It just never happens. Thank God.
Well, but that's why it's also important to have a backup. That's reliable.
Or knowing that Ryan Nassib's time is short in regard to his contract, more than likely somebody's going to come knocking to offer him a contract to come in and compete for a starting job somewhere else. Why not give value for him now? It's a great debate to have.
Well, once again, I don't see the door knocking so much as perhaps you see right now. It could change in a year or two, but right now I don't see it knocking. AJ is in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Come on, Kyle. Do you think the Giants done signing a free agent who's still available?
Well, which free agent are we talking about?
Like Patrick Wilson and Brandon Boykin.
Well, Brandon Boykin is a slot corner, so... You know, based on what John Mara mentioned, he mentioned that the Giants could be in the market for another corner. And if you look at the slot spot in particular, they have free agents with Tremaine McBride and Jayron Hosley. Trevin Wade's still in the mix. So, I mean, that would make sense, AJ, in terms of maybe targeting a player like Boykin, because I think that would fit a need for the Giants. I just don't know, once again, whether or not that would be in the price range that the Giants are looking at right now. Because, you know, as I read to you, John Mara did mention they're interested in other free agents as long as it's within their price range at this point.
One more thing. In the draft, I hope the Giants select Dan Lee out of Ohio State. I hear a lot of good things about him.
Yeah, we actually had an Ohio State beat writer on last week, John and I, and he was very high on Darren Lee in terms of his versatility. And one of the things that I asked, because I know from looking at his physical traits, whether or not he's more suitable to be a safety as opposed to a linebacker, but he felt that he's definitely suitable to be a linebacker, and he's got that versatility to play on the outside because he can run east and west. He's very quick in terms of his ability.
Oh, yeah, I know they need, like, a franchise linebacker for, like, the next 10-plus years.
Well, I mean, clearly, I think whenever you draft a linebacker, you'd love it to be a guy that you can build around for 10 years. That remains to be seen, but I would agree with you, AJ. I think he certainly has some upside because of the different places that you could put him on the football field, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. You got it. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We got Eddie in North Carolina. Eddie, what's happening?
Hey guys, what's up today?
How we doing, Eddie?
A lot of good stuff. Good job as usual.
Well, appreciate you listening.
It's always fun when Lance and I debate, right?
Yeah, it's been fun. But I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk about the one thing that I think the Giants still need. I know that they need a lot of needs, but to me, I think we all agree the Giants are not going to be picking 10th, hopefully, in the future. So I think they need to take the first pick and still pick a pass rusher because you don't know what you're going to get from JP next year. And if somehow, some way, Olivia Vernon gets hurt, the Giants are still in the same boat they were this past year.
Well, that's why depth is important.
Not only do I pick a pass rusher in the first round, but I think the in the second round, defensive tackle might be the deepest position in the draft. I pick a defensive tackle that could put pressure on the quarterback also, because I don't see one of our defensive tackles being a good pass rusher.
Well, Jonathan Hankins got to the quarterback early in his career. Last year, the numbers obviously dipped. In terms of Snacks only has 1.5 sacks in his career, so he's not necessarily known as a guy. But, you know, he's known as a guy that could push the pocket moving forward. There's a distinct difference. While the sacks may not be there, the quarterback pressures are there. And that's also important. It's not so much the sacks. And then in terms of the backups, you know, Jay Bromley's still a very young, inexperienced defensive tackle. So I would agree with you. Depth is always important, and I've said this before. I could still see them going at a defensive lineman in the first round as the roster stands right now.
Well, I tell you, one thing I would not do, I would not pick a right tackle with the 10th pick in the draft. Like I said, I don't know when the Giants are going to pick this high again. And without a pass rush in this league, you don't have a good defense. I like what they did already, but you can't just rely on Olivia Vernon and JPP, especially when you don't know what you're going to get from JPP. Plus, you might not be able to pay JPP if he does play well this year. That's why you want a rookie, so you'll have one guy on each side for the next 5 years.
Well, keep in mind, you still have Double O, who to me is coming in as a redshirt rookie because he barely played last season. So you have a young defensive end in him, and then you have Kerry Wynn, who's also still very young, and you could potentially bring somebody else in the draft. So between those three, you're going to have a nucleus of three guys that are going to still be under contract from that perspective.
Right, but one is a third-round pick. One is an undrafted free agent. I'm talking about taking the tenth pick in the draft and having another edge rusher on the other side of Vernon for the next 5 years.
Well, and I'm
I think that's the one thing the Giants have to fix. They still haven't fixed their pass rush, in my opinion.
Well, based on the numbers last season,
I don't take an offensive tackle with the 10th pick.
Well, I mean a
right tackle with the 10th pick.
I'm not disagreeing with you about the importance of depth on the defensive line, and I think there is room for them to draft somebody even with the 10th overall pick. But what I'm saying, Eddie, is even if they bring somebody in with the 10th overall pick, you're still going to have a nucleus with Kerry Wynn and with Double O. So you're going to have three guys there that you could build around for the future.
Don't forget you got Bromley back there as well. But I will say this, and is this Eddie?
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie,
yeah.
I will say this. I'm with you. I mean, listen, if you're going to draft an offensive lineman in the top 10, it's typically a left tackle, not a right tackle. So I'm with you to have a number a top 10 pick. I as well would not like to see it be a right tackle, even though obviously that's the biggest glaring need right now for the Giants. But as we know, the Giants, what do they say? What's their mantra? Best player on the board. Best player on the board. So I do believe it'll be a defensive player. I've made no secret about it. I love me some Miles Jack. Now, is it wishful thinking to think that he's still going to be there at 10? Yeah, I think Jacksonville. I don't think he'll make it past Jacksonville at 5. That's my opinion. But gosh, I would love to see this guy here in New York with the Giants. He is special. He is a special, special
absolutely,
player.
And the Giants don't have anybody. A lot of teams don't have anybody like him. But like I said, He's a great player, but he's not going to always be putting pressure on the quarterback. He could rush the quarterback, but he's going to be in coverage a lot. And like I said, the Giants still need to fix their pass rush. They have to put pressure on the quarterback. If they think that they just fixed it with JPP and Olivia Vernon, they made a mistake. You have to use that first pick on a pass rush.
Well, Eddie, I don't think...
That's just my opinion.
Well, Eddie, and I'm not disagreeing with you and appreciate the phone call, but I don't think there's any indication right now that the Giants feel as if they're done with just those two. I think based on what John Mara said, they believe that there's still more work to do, and there's work to do in terms of adding depth. And that's why I think that number 10th overall pick, if you get a defensive lineman, that would be a smart philosophy, because it's not just about the starting 11 players. I've said this time and time again. It's about what the rest of your roster looks like in case somebody goes down via injury. So, I mean, I agree with Eddie's philosophy. No disagreement there, but I also think that the Giants haven't indicated that they're done, that they're just content with Olivier Vernon and JPP. They feel that clearly there's going to be room to add more bodies into the mix, at least for the sake of competition in training camp.
And that's what John Mara just communicated,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
Down there in sunny Boca, man, must be nice. All the owners down there and the coaches are down there in sunny Boca Raton, Florida.
Well, they usually have it in a warm climate.
Yeah.
I mean, they choose wisely based on previous meetings and so forth.
So nice. I heard a rumor that once the Rams complete that unbelievable stadium that's going to have, I guess, an area where the NFL Network is going to put their studios, that potentially that's where the combine's going to be moving forward.
Makes sense.
I love Indianapolis. Like, I love the combine. It's my favorite week of the year. It's so much fun. You know how the close-knit, really, the area downtown in Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis does a phenomenal job with the combine. But that could be interesting. Once that stadium is built, there's a possibility, the potential of the combine going out west.
Well, as long as they keep everything in one spot, which they would, regardless of where the combine moves. I mean, it would make sense to even rotate it, give other stadiums an opportunity, and clearly give L.A. some additional exposure now that they're going to invest all that money in this new setup. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got Marvin in Delaware. Marvin, what's happening?
How you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Marvin.
I'm doing good. How you doing, Anita?
I'm great. Welcome in.
Thank you. I'm a big Anita Marks fan.
Oh, thank you.
Love her to death. There ain't nothing better than a beautiful woman that knows sports. But in the case of you're talking about NASA, I'm going to have to agree with Lance in this case. Normally, I love what Anita has to say, but I'm going to have to agree with Lance in this case.
That's fine.
The reason is, This is the way I see it, is that the Giants has a value for NASA, and the other teams has a value for him. And if he was so much wanted, I think our phones would be ringing off the hook by those teams that need a quarterback to see what the value of this guy would be. And that's not to say it hasn't happened, that Jerry them haven't talked to anybody. But the phones will be ringing off the hook, no doubt, because these teams need a quarterback. And this guy hasn't proved anything of his value. Now, if I'm another GM on another team and I call the Giants, my first take is going to be I'll give you a seventh-round pick for him. Take it or leave it. I can draft the one I want.
I think his value is greater than that, but I do respect your opinion, and I understand, because there's no sample size. And there's no sample size because Eli Manning stays healthy all the time. And isn't that a treat for us and Giants fans? I totally get that. You know, the most that people have seen is really what we see during preseason when he comes in. So, yeah, I understand. I just think his value is a lot greater than that.
And I agree with you on that. You make good points on that. But, again, those teams can only give value on what they see. If they see a seventh-round pick, that's the only thing you're going to get. If whatever you say you want, hey, I got the right to hang up on you on that, too. Your value is not the same as mine, and I agree with you. He may be a fourth-round pick showing that, but they haven't shown that on the films or anything to prove that to me. That's like me going to buy a car. I can tell the guy can sell me the best car on the lot. I don't know if it's a lemon or not.
Totally legit, invalid phone call.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in, Marvin. 201-939-4513. Let's hear from Nugs in Minnesota. Nugs, what's happening?
Nugs.
How we doing, Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Doing well, Nugs. How's things with you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to weigh in on the NASA thing as well, and as well as what I think we should do in the draft. I think that I hear you guys saying that, you wouldn't take a right tackle in the first round, but if that's a position of need and there is a right tackle out there with a first-round grade, I would take him. Other than that, I would take a starting linebacker, somebody who could be a middle linebacker. I don't want to throw names out there and stuff like that, because I think that that's pretty much asinine, because we don't know what's going to happen in front of us in the draft. But as far as the NASA issue was concerned, I agree with Anita. Eli is like his brother. Barring a catastrophic injury, he's going to start every game in his career, and he's going to be a Giant for life. I think that right now we gave up a fourth-round pick to get NASA. We took him with a fourth-round pick. We can get a fourth-round pick for him and maybe get, like, you know, somebody who will actually see the field, somebody who will actually contribute to this season. I think that I've been listening, you know, I listen to you guys every day, and I'm listening to Giants fans talking about what we're going to do next year, this guy and that guy for next year. Hey, we haven't seen the playoffs in 5 years. It's win now, baby. And if giving up Nassib right now will help put another Vardy trophy in there this year, I'm not worried about whether or not Eli is going to go down a year from now. You
Nugs.
Know, my money, smart money is that Eli.
Nugs, let me play devil's advocate here for a second in regard to you know, where Lance was coming from, because he does have a valid point here. Look around the landscape of the NFL and all 32 teams and go through their quarterback situation and envision their quarterback going down, next man up. How will they play? Will it be a Denver Broncos situation where Brock Osweiler came in and went 5-2 with the Denver Broncos, or will it be a Cowboys situation where what is it, Brandon Whedon?
Yeah, he had about five different quarterbacks. So what about Houston Texans?
That came in and didn't do anything.
But let me just finish.
Okay, there is only a handful of teams in the NFL that if they're God forbid, I don't even like talking about this. That if their starting quarterback goes down. Next man up comes in for the running back position. Ooh, they can rush for 1,000 yards. That's like that was rampant in the NFL last year, but it is so scarce where you have a backup quarterback who's going to come in and that team isn't going to miss a beat or somewhat similar to missing a beat. That is what NASA brings to this organization. So, and not that I have to defend Lance. He does a great job defending himself. I'm just playing devil's advocate. It is an interesting debate to have because that's a nice luxury. There are very few teams in the NFL that have that at the quarterback position. God forbid your quarterback goes out, next man comes up, and he's able to run this offense without a hiccup. That doesn't happen often, and that is valuable for a team like the Giants. So it's tough. It's not an easy decision.
And guess what, Anita? I agree with you. I agree with you, and I agree with Lance. But you got to understand, I am a fan. You guys are more closer to the organization. You guys are much, much more knowledgeable about, you know, the more day-to-day stuff that's going on. I'm a fan. I've seen my team go down in flames for 5 years. And in my opinion, Nassib's never going to see the field as a Giant. Okay, and to play devil's advocate with your devil's advocate, Brandon Whedon would have had a lot more success if he had a healthy Dez Bryant. So if Eli goes down and some other guy steps in, I think that anybody can throw to Odell Beckham. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but can
Odell
anybody?
Beckham is
that
special.
But Nugs, not meaning to cut you off, but can anybody digest Ben McAdoo's system like that? Ryan Nassib knows Ben McAdoo's system. He's been in the system for multiple years, so there's a comfort level that he has with that.
Not only that, this is a very similar system that he played at
Correct.
In Syracuse. So this is a system that fits him extremely well.
The answer to your question is a big, fat no. Nobody, it's not just that simple. But the question is this. Would you want to, okay, let's keep Nassib for insurance. Okay. Insurance for an Iron Man who's never going to go down.
Well, but.
Okay. Well, or we can, listen to me, or we can possibly trade him and get a guard who's not a starting guard on another team but could possibly come and be a starting guard on our team or a starting right tackle on our team and crack the starting lineup on our team. So we're going to keep a backup for who's never going to see the field as a Giant. I agree with Anita. Ryan Nassib is a competitor. You can't be in this league and not be a competitor at some level. He's going to want to be a starter. Nobody's going to sit behind Eli for a decade.
Well, but Nugs,
so
I think
out the door anyway.
I think you're undervaluing the role of a backup quarterback, and it's an extremely important position.
I'm totally not undervaluing the role of a quarterback, of a backup quarterback. But if you say, what's more important to our team right now, a backup quarterback or a starting right guard, a backup quarterback or a starting right tackle? Come on.
Well,
we could possibly get a low draft pick for him. That's a conditional draft pick. You know, if he starts so many snaps or whatever, then it'll escalate to like a third or fourth round draft, second round draft pick next year or something like that. I mean, I'll take your answer off the line, but I'm just saying, in my heart of hearts, I've been saying this since we drafted Nassib. He's never going to see the field. Let's put him out there in preseason. Let him show what he can do, and then trade him.
Well, and he has shown some flashes in the preseason. Appreciate the phone call, Nugs, but I don't see a team trading for Ryan Nassib and giving back in return what you just laid out, where even you can get maybe a starting right tackle or a right guard for somebody based on limited reps in the preseason. I just don't think that there's anything of substance in NFL history that you could bring to the table to say a guy who had X amount of preseason snaps was moved to another team, became their starting quarterback, and in return you got something that you were able to turn into a starting right tackle and a starting right guard. I mean, it's one of those wishful thinking scenarios, which I understand from a fan's perspective, you're entitled to have that wishful thinking scenario. I'm just trying to ground it in a little bit more perspective of what actually goes on in the National Football League. That's at least where I'm coming from. I look at Ryan Nassib as an extremely valuable commodity on the Giants roster as a backup to Eli Manning. Everybody talks about Eli Manning's the most durable quarterback. It's extremely valuable. You can never take a player's durability for granted in this league. Look at what happened to the Giants defense last year. Look at all the key starters that went down and the importance of depth. Depth is important in every position. You can't prioritize depth at, well, defensive end, we need more depth than we need a quarterback. No, you need depth at every position because you never know when a player is going to go down. You have a quarterback right now on the roster that knows Ben McAdoo's system, that is comfortable with the language, thrived in this system in college, and has 2 years left on his contract. From the Giants' perspective, at least this is my opinion, I'd be in no rush to get rid of him. That's just where I stand. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Lewis is in Pennsylvania. Lewis, what's happening? Lewis, no, we don't. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Oh, hey, guys.
How you doing, Len?
How are you doing today?
Doing well. How's things with you?
Good. Lance, let me ask you a question with regard to Nassib.
Yeah.
And this is not a challenge to anything that you've already said. And then I have another question for Anita regarding Nassib. Do you think Nassib is a top 32 quarterback or a bottom 32 quarterback?
Meaning, can he start for a team right now?
Yeah.
I think if there's a team that's in need of a quarterback, he could certainly compete for the job. I wouldn't necessarily go so far to say he's going to win the job. I think he could compete for a job that has an opening.
Okay. Interesting take. I want to go back to something that Anita said. Anita, are you there?
I'm right here.
Yeah, okay, good. You made a comment before about, the fourth-round pick and wanting to get somebody who can play immediately. And maybe that's what we would get if we traded Nassib. I'm still struggling. One of the biggest head-scratchers to me, and Lance, I don't think Anita was with the show back, if we go back 4 years, I still can't figure out why we made that pick. I mean, as the previous caller said, I mean, when you look for he wasn't going to play. He was a rookie. He wasn't going to play. We could have drafted somebody else in the fourth round who could have possibly helped us immediately. So it's a great conversation.
Yeah, but Lynn, let me say this.
Nassib is going to have an 8 to 10 year career in the NFL.
Lynn, let me say
it's
this.
It's just not going to be as a starter.
Lynn,
I'm sorry, Anita. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Listen, and I totally respect your opinion, and I understand that. Why would the Giants spend a fourth round draft pick and bring Nassib? But you know why you feel that way? Because you're fortunate enough to have a quarterback who's an Iron Man who never goes down. Imagine if Eli wasn't as durable, and maybe two or three times in the course of Nassib's tenure here, he's had to come in and engineer a last-minute drive to win a game for the Giants. You know what, Lynn, you wouldn't be making this phone call. The reason you're making this phone call is because we are blessed by Eli Manning's health and his genes and his work ethic and how he takes care of himself physically, that he has not been injured. Or if he is injured, he doesn't even talk about it. We don't even know about it, and he plays injured. So that is why you're making this phone call and you're saying, well, the Giants wasted of, you know what? It was great that the Giants have had him and still do have him on this roster. I'm not debating that. The question here, the debate is, because you've now signed and you're committed to Eli Manning for the next several years, and you know that Nassib, as Lance has communicated, only has two more years left on his contract, and in my conversations with coaches and whatnot, that Nassib has a great opportunity and potential to leave the Giants and compete for a starting job in the next 2 years. What is his value right now? What can you get for him? And will that value in regard to potentially a trade offer equate to more value for you in being able to go out and bring in or draft a right tackle or who can play immediately? But do not underestimate that having Nassib on this roster was very valuable, and it was very smart on Jerry Reese and the Giants to draft him. We're just blessed with the fact that we've never had to call his number because of Eli Manning, Lynn.
Well, if Nassib wasn't I listened intently to everything you said, Anita. I wasn't wandering and trying to think out what my response was going to be.
Well, that's good.
But if Nassib wasn't picked 4 years ago, there would have been another backup quarterback who might have been called, thank God he wasn't, might have been called into service to bring the Giants back in a game, just like we said Nassib might be able to do. it wasn't the pick that fit for me. And let me, and before I finish off here on Nassib, let me just say, sports talk radio is great. I mean, you can sit here and talk for a half hour about the backup quarterback. I mean, it's great. What a great world. You know, it could have been somebody else who could have brought us back. Hey, Kate, can I move on to Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
Okay. Fifth round pick. You know, that's, to me, another head scratcher. If we wanted a wide receiver late, why not Diggs? I mean, we picked before Minnesota. We went, and I hope it works out. We went unknown safety in the fifth round.
Is that who we got? Thompson? Who did we get?
I'll look it up
Thompson,
to confirm.
Thompson.
We got Thompson.
Thompson. I mean,
But again, Lynn, you're in
the sixth round, we went wide receiver.
But, Lynn, you're sitting...
We went wide receiver from Connecticut instead of the Big Ten wide receiver. The Big Ten wide receiver.
But, Lynn,
from Maryland.
Lynn, you're sitting here again. You're sitting here, and this is your viewpoint, and this is your this is what you're communicating, because we haven't seen what Thompson can do. What if Thompson comes out, beats Bennett Jackson, beats Nat Burhey for the starting safety position opposite Landon Collins, and just totally crushes it next year? What if that happens?
Then we're going to crown Jerry Reese if that happens.
Well, I
don't think it's going to happen. The guy was I just didn't get at that particular time in the draft. We'd gone through 70 draft picks to wait for that fifth round pick, and we went to a guy that nobody knew anything about. I know they're smarter than I am, and I know every general manager south of Newark is suspect, except for Jerry. Okay, well he's north.
Well, Len, in fairness though, your point about Diggs coming from a Big Ten school, Thompson went to a Big 12 school. So, you know, it's not like he came from an unknown school. You may have not heard of his name, but he still played in one of the top conferences in college football. I mean, there were probably
very, very few people, and they had to be NFL people, who heard of Mikel Thompson. When that pick was made, look, I hope it works out for the Giants. I just don't think it's going to. But we're going to crown Jerry if it does. I mean, we're putting him up on a pedestal if Mikel Thompson works out.
Well, I always say,
thanks for taking my call,
and appreciate
guys.
The phone call. You need about 3 or 4 years till you actually start comparing draft picks to determine, you know, what was a good
Not
selection
only that,
and so
Lance,
forth.
They got to get on the field.
Of course, but I'm saying we don't even know. Diggs right now is coming off a great rookie year, Anita.
We've also
seen players disappear after their rookie year, too. So the point is we've got to see more of a sample size for everybody before you start examining fifth-round draft picks from last year. I mean, there's just not enough here to say this was good, this was bad. 3 years down the road, I think there's more to examine here. All right, let's get in one more phone call before we wrap up shop. Lewis is in Pennsylvania. Lewis, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I'm a little concerned with these so-called Giants fan. I don't understand why they dog Ryan Nassib. I mean, my opinion is, if I had to choose between Ryan Nassib, who has 2 to 3 years under McAdoo, I believe it's 2, right?
He was drafted,
and a fourth-round quarterback taken, I would choose Nassib. They already know the system, and if Eli Manning goes down week 1, I mean, I would have more confidence in Nassib than I would just somebody with no experience at all. I do believe he's valuable to our team. Everybody goes for starters, but I believe, like you said, that plays a big role in success. I mean, when we had Michael Strahan, OC, Justin Tuck, and JPP that played after Michael Strahan retired. I mean, it was all depth.
Depth is important. I agree with you.
Talks down on NASA. And another thing is, I have a question for you both. I'm gonna give you three players entering the draft, and with the 10th pick, I want you guys to choose which one you think we would take. The cornerback from Florida, Hargraves, Darren Lee, and what's his name, Corey Coleman?
I would go with Hargraves.
I had a choice. I don't think he's going to be available at 10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just gave the hypothetical. So
right.
I'm going. Assuming
you're saying
available at 10, my answer would be probably Hargraves.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of hoping you guys agree with that. I mean, everybody looks at, well, we already have 2 cornerbacks, but I think it's a passing league, and the more defensive backs we can get, the better.
Well, I agree with you there, and I think that corner right now, there's area to add options there in terms of just pure competition for a backup or a starting slot corner, whereas the other positions that you threw out, you know, you threw out a wide receiver, and then you also threw out a linebacker. And I always say this because I get a lot of people on Twitter giving me all these different linebacker situations. The Giants haven't taken a linebacker in the first round since 1984, so that's why I'd be very surprised if that changes. And number two, while wide receiver certainly is a need, I think that you could take a chance with a late-round pick or bring in an established veteran through free agency who can immediately impact your team, whereas corner, the guy you mentioned, if he's there at 10, he could come in and be somebody that could perhaps start from day one and be somebody that could build apart your nucleus for years to come.
Now, to add on to that, do you believe that we can that he can be versatile, even put him at slot and sometimes in safety to play the deep?
Well, you know,
part of the field, and Landon Collins played
to play up in the box. You're talking about,
yeah.
I think it really would depend on how Spags would envision using a player like that. I mean, right now I would look at him more as a corner as opposed to necessarily experimenting with him at safety. To me, Ramsey is more of a guy that could play both positions, who's clearly probably going to go in the top three picks. He, to me, is more of a player, Lewis, that you can actually interchange between corner and safety,
yeah,
as opposed to Hargraves, who I look at as more of a corner right now.
Okay, and one more thing before I end the call. Could you see us possibly, let's say Hargraves do land to us at 10, could you see us going second? I don't know if Carl Joseph, the safety from West Virginia, is worth a second-round pick. Maybe just stack up on the defensive side of the field with the first two picks and solidify our secondary.
But here's the thing. You wonder, Lewis, let me throw the question back at you. Given the fact that, as Anita and I mentioned off the top of the show, you got a lot of young safeties right now on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think, regardless of the whole philosophy of best player available, do you think that in the second round it's necessary to bring in another young safety when, from what we heard, from what John Mara said and Jerry Reese said, between Thompson, Bennett, and Burhey, you got a young nucleus with limited experience? I would think you're content right now with that group.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I'm a Hargraves fan. I just hope he don't land to the Eagles.
Well, I mean, I'm sure everybody never wants a top player or a player who you think has some upside to go to the rival. But, I mean, you got to do what's good for your team initially, Lewis. And certainly appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
And you know, just to comment on, I understand that the Giants have not drafted a linebacker since Carl Banks. But, again, this Miles Jack kid, he's special. He's not your average linebacker. I mean, he's been kissed by God. His talent, his ability, you know, his pro day, from what I understand, was amazing, even coming off of the injury that he suffered. So, you know, I think Miles Jack is an exception to that trend that we see from the Giants, because he's a special cat.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, he could play out of the slot. He's certainly unique with his skill set compared to other linebackers that have come into the league. But I'm still going to throw out that trend and that comment before I jump on the linebacker bandwagon, because I think track records and, you know, teams' decision-making is something you at least need to take into consideration before you say to yourself, oh, this guy would be a great fit for the team. Philosophy, team philosophy is something that can't be necessarily overlooked. Well, appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday starting at noon Eastern. We're also, as we get closer and closer to the draft here and free agency is slowing down, we're going to bring on experts who are going to talk about the various draft classes. Last week, we focused in on Ohio State, you know, so we'll look at all the top programs, some of the programs that had their pros days, so that we can get a little bit more insight on the top prospects from each team. So expect more of that in the weeks ahead as we get prepared for the upcoming draft with now, as I mentioned, free agency being quiet. With that being said,
who's back? Who's on tomorrow? I'm back on Wednesday with you.
Yes, I think it may be John and Paul tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure, but that may be what's on tap.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Menno. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30!
Broken intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!